pray for you. Father, we bring Callum before you today as he shares from your word. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on what he says to us. And we ask for our hearts and minds to be open to hearing, not from Callum, but from you. And we just ask for your blessing on all that he says. In Jesus' name, amen.
About this morning, I just thought I'd get that out of the way and tell you. I was nervous last night, I was nervous this morning, and somebody said something to me a few weeks ago which really hit me, and it was that God's people are sheep and not cattle. So you lead sheep and you drive, you herd cattle, you know. It's like, whoa. So I'm scared of prodding. I don't want to prod. But we're still going to preach the word. And I'm just going to read a few verses from Matthew first. And start at 11:28. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And I'm going to share a verse from Jeremiah as well. I was walking last night, and I walked down Mundaring Weir Road, and sometimes I go right down into the valley and do this big loop, and I just pray, and when I get to the last street light, there's this road that comes off to the side, and I stop, and I quite often I'll stand under the streetlight and just pray for a while. And last night I had this verse come to me. It's happened once before as well, and I was just praying through this. I'm going to read this verse from Jeremiah. "Thus says the Lord," Jeremiah 6:16, "stand in the ways or the crossroads and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." So that word, the old ways, the old paths, is the same word in that song, the Ancient of Days this morning. And it means from eternity. That's what the word ancient means. There is a way. There is a way that is from before time. And Jesus said, "I am the way." And he came and showed us the way. It's not our way. It's not a better way, it's the way. So I just wanted to open with that and jump into Colossians. So before, we're going to start up in verse 5. Oh, and bear with me as I use the clicker for the first time. Sounds straightforward. Clicker, click. So we'll start in verse 5. Actually, I'll read the passage through first. We're going to go 5 to 11. I'll read off there. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So as we go into this, as we go into this passage of Colossians, last time we were talking about, you know, setting our minds on the things above, fixing our minds on the things above. And we talked about how meditating in the Word, meditating in the truth of God, and not just living according to what we see, but living by faith. And surely we can't live by faith if we don't grow in the truth. So we talked about if we're thinking, man, what am I going to set my mind on? Well, we can go back to the first chapter of Colossians and talk about all of this truth that's been revealed, that we are saints, that we have been made holy and blameless and above reproach, that he wants to form Christ in us and reveal his glory through us to the world, that we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And the reason I'm refreshing us on some of this stuff is because now we're going into some pretty heavy stuff. And what we're talking about is holiness today. We're talking about holiness. And we're only going to scratch it because holiness is a big topic that you could talk a lot about. A good definition of holiness is any outward manifestation of the nature of God. Any outward manifestation of the nature of God. Holiness is not just not sinning. Holiness is Christ in us and coming out of us. But not sinning is part of it. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Put to death, therefore, because as we see Christ, because in verse 4, I've got to go back so you can. There we go. So therefore, the verse before talked about as we're seeing him clearer, as Christ appears, as he's revealed to us. We talked about having a single eye, growing in the faith. As we're seeing Jesus clearly and learning through him who we are and who God is, it's bringing grace to us and it's changing us from glory to glory as we gaze upon him. And since this is true, therefore, in light of that, put to death your members which are on the earth. One translation says the things that have to do with your carnal nature. Fornication. This is where the word, this is porneia, which you can guess where some other words we got from that. And adultery, which is figuratively idolatry. It's unlawful lust. So anything outside of God's design, anything out of the created intention of God for a man and a woman to become one, you can take that out of that word, fornication. Uncleanness, which is impurity. And it's very, very broad. It's anything unclean. It's whether it's demonic or lewdness, whether it's just foul, unclean, lustful, indecent, obscene. It could be coarse joking. It could be crudity. It could just be wantonness, grossness, profanity. Anything that is less than who God is, it's impurity. It's less than what we see in Christ. If we don't see it in Christ, it does not belong in us. And you'll notice it says put to death. It doesn't say micromanage. It doesn't say work on. It says put to death. It means mortify. This is serious. And that's why I'm nervous, because this is serious. But isn't it interesting that Paul spends two chapters, well, he spends a whole chapter actually, telling us who we are in Christ before he moves into this. Because if you pursue holiness outside of identity, outside of righteousness, outside of knowing who you are in Christ, it'll be works. And you'll just continually prove to yourself you can't. We talked about it a few weeks ago, about transformation without grace is religion. It's just you and your own strength trying to change, trying to be a better person. So we need to know what's been accomplished and who we are in Christ so we can go into this and it not be works and not be legalism. Okay. Passion. Evil desire and covetousness. Passion is inordinate affection. It's longing. It's mostly a sexual longing. And then there's this word, evil desire. Does anyone have that translated as anything different? Wicked cravings. Yep, that's a good one. So this word pops up a lot in the New Testament. And this is really the root right here. This is what it talks about in James, about how sin comes from these evil desires. And then it goes on in chapter 3 and talks about, man, getting serious and not boasting and lying against the truth. If you have this selfish, if you have these cravings, don't boast, don't just speak Christianese and be in the right places. Get serious about working out your salvation and get serious about putting this stuff to death, because this has to go. There's this idea out there that God is just sovereignly sanctifying us as we go through life, and I haven't found it in the Bible. I'm just going to be honest. I haven't found it in the Bible. It's grace. It is grace. It is God who works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure, but we have to work out. We have to outwork our salvation in fear and trembling, because it is God who works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Because we have access to his grace, because we have every spiritual blessing, because he's able to keep us from stumbling, because he's able to establish us according to the teachings of the Lord Jesus and according to my gospel, Paul said. Because grace is able, we need to get desperate for grace. That's the mandate of humility in the Lord's Prayer. Is lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. We are hungry. We are needy for his spirit. We are needy for his grace. Because without him, it doesn't take long for us to march off a cliff into Never Never Land. But we have to work it out. And this stuff has to be put to death, put to the sword. Evil desire is a longing for what is forbidden. So that was really good, wicked craving. It's lust is the word it's mostly translated as. And you know, lust is selfishness. It's a longing for what is forbidden. Where's the first time in the Bible we can see a longing for what is forbidden? At the tree. Yeah. Yeah, in the garden. That's right. And this is the problem on the earth. We've talked about this. So 2 Peter 1 talks about the way that we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, which is this same word, this wicked cravings, this longing for what is forbidden. The only way that we can escape that, the only way we can escape selfishness is by partaking of the divine nature, which is love. It is God's nature. And we'll see that as we move further on in the chapter. That's why it's above all things, put on love. That's why love's the goal of our instruction. That's why if we don't have love, we have nothing. That's why it's the greatest commandment, because it is God's nature. God is love. And everyone who lives in love lives in God. But we'll get to that next time. So evil desire, this lust, this selfishness, this selfish wicked cravings is to be put to death. It is not to be said, well, yeah, but God understands, he knows how we are. You know, there's a lot of Christianese and it's not in this passage. It says, put to death your members which are on the earth. It's serious. We got to get serious with this. Pretty strong. And here's why. Covetousness, we'll finish. Greed. I don't need to open that one up too much. But greed and the love of money and this, and it's all rooted in this evil desire, is a root of all types of evil, and it will lead us down all sorts of wrong paths. Now this is the serious, this is why it's so serious. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This is not a message for non-Christians. This is to the church in Colossae. This is not for us to go and try and get people who are unsaved or not walking with the Lord to conform to what we believe. This is for us. We've got to get serious about this stuff. We've got to work out our salvation. And we need endurance. Because we've got to fight. We've got to fight the fight of faith. Have I clicked? I don't need to click. Okay. I'm gonna skip over to 1 Corinthians quickly. And I'm just going to read chapter 6, verse 9. And then I'm going to pick back up, okay? So it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." Can you hear the cry, the heart cry of Paul here? Do not be deceived. Do not listen to people who, like we read in chapter 2 of Colossians, there's false humility, there is legalism, there's philosophy that is trying to cheat us out of the truth that's in Christ. And we need to get established in the wisdom of God through the life of Jesus and through the gospel, because otherwise we're going to be deceived. If you have somehow come to a point where you have a theology that accommodates sin in your life, you are deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And we've talked about this before from the Galatians passage, about how we always limit that to we'll not go to heaven someday. But actually, the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit, and it's what God wants to give to us now, as well as the coming kingdom. But Jesus said, don't look over there, don't look over there. It's within you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom's not word or speech. It's living by God's power. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom is what we're supposed to be praying for here and now in our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And this is earth. We're on the earth. That means here and now, in and through our lives, His will be done, His kingdom come. It's the kingdom that's from eternity. It's the old ways. It's the ancient ways. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Follow me. This is where you find rest. So heavy stuff. Heavy stuff, some of this. But listen to what Paul says next in verse 11 of chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. That's the blood. You were sanctified. You were made holy. You were justified. That means you were rendered innocent, made clean and new in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So jump back to this here. So it's the same thing he's doing here. He's saying, man, this is intense and we need to hear this, but we also need to see in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. It's vilifying God, making God the bad guy, putting God on trial in our minds, and then anything that flows out of our mouth through that as well. But it's not just limited to, you know, saying Jesus Christ or something. Filthy language out of your mouth. So in the Corinthians one, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed. In other words, he's saying, this isn't you. This isn't for you. This stuff's not for you. Why? Further on in the chapter, after a very strong warning about sexual immorality, verse 19 of chapter 6, he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? When it's not just don't sin, you bunch of sinners, try harder, do better, knock that off. It's you are a temple for the Holy Spirit. You are created to be filled with the very presence of the living God. Isn't that awesome? And so because of that, what's the first thing we could just learn about the Holy Spirit just from His name? He's holy. He's holy. Right. He's holy. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. That is the blood of Jesus. That is the price. It's the blood of Jesus. That's your value. That's your price tag, is the blood of Jesus. That's the only place you'll find out your true value, your true worth. your true identity. You were bought at a price, therefore, because you're bought at a price, because we're created to be a temple for the Holy Spirit and He wants to fill us with His own life. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, in your spirit, which are God's. So we'll jump back. Took my bookmark out. Okay, where were we up to? Verse 8. Yep. So there's a putting to death, and that's quite serious. And then there's a putting off. And this is working out your salvation stuff, because this is as we go through life. You know, I've had some anger stuff this week. I've had some frustration stuff this week. But it doesn't say anger management. It says put off. And I forgot to bring a jacket, but I was going to bring a jacket and just... I did take off my shirt once at Shalom, but it's a bit of a different audience. But you take it, you know, you put off, you know, and sometimes that's a powerful picture. Put off. Why? It's not you. You're not made for this. You're not made to walk in anger and wrath and malice. You're not made for sexual impurity. You're made for God. You're made to be holy. You're made for His image. You're made to reveal Christ. That's the purpose of our lives. That's the whole point of the cross, is to get us back to what we were created to be. It's not so much to get us to heaven someday as it is to get heaven back in us now. And eternal life is a byproduct of being a son or a daughter of the eternal God. It's not the goal. It's the destination. But if you want to know the goal, it says the goal of your instruction is love. It's walking in love. There's no love in selfishness, and there's no selfishness in love. They're polar opposites. When Eve ate the fruit, she became selfish. When Adam ate the fruit, he became selfish. Self-preserving, self-protecting, self-justifying. Pride came, fig leaves, covering up my own sins, self-righteousness, shame. It's all hyper-selfish, self-focused. They were free from all that. And that's what He wants to do. He wants us to work out our salvation, because the end goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Again, not talking about heaven, talking about the deliverance of our souls from what we inherited through Adam. Okay. So these things aren't for you, okay? Because you have put off the old man. Do not lie to one another. That's another one. Because you have put off the old man with his deeds. And I'll just read a quick one from Romans 6, because it's always good to go to Romans 6, as you know. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. I'll keep reading, but I'll stop. But read Romans 6. It's good. So we've put off the old man. Our old man was crucified with Christ. Unfortunately, we're pretty good at resurrecting the dead man. You know, we seem to do that. You know? That's not cool. But here's the thing. If we don't learn who we are in Christ, we can't let the old man die. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he has to deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. The old man was crucified with Christ. We have to know who we are in Christ so that we can die to who we're not, who we were not created to be, so that Christ can rise up in us. And that's what holiness is. It's Christ coming up and out of us. Is that too wordy? Does that make sense? So we have put off the old man and with his deeds. And this, you know, in the Ephesians 4 passage, it's not talking about it in a past tense, it's talking about it in a present tense. And I'll just read it quickly, because it'll be very helpful. This is working out your salvation stuff. This is practical. How do we deal with this stuff? The gospel has the answers for all this stuff. So it says here, on the back of a similar passage talking about, you know, ignorance, lewdness, just wanton flesh living, aimless conduct, Peter called it. But it says, you haven't learned Christ, if indeed you've learned him as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. So we've put off the old man, but as this stuff comes up, as things pop up, as we make mistakes, we have to put it off. We have to say, that is not who I'm created to be. We have to repent. We have to confess. And it says, you put off the old man, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, says that same word again, wicked cravings, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, there's something in between saying no to sin and actually growing in holiness and righteousness, and it's the renewing of the mind. It's getting a grip on who we've become. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. But if you don't find out who you are in Christ, I'm lost. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Who's the visible image of the invisible God? Jesus. Yep. And in the first chapter of the Bible, let us make man in our image. Next verse, he makes him in his image. And we're being renewed according to that image. As we see Jesus, as we see the truth about our lives, as we see the living epistle of love, as we see the call to follow him, as we gaze upon him, as we see the truth, it clips away the lies and it reveals the lies. And that's why Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body's filled with light. So, just one thing about the image of God. Romans 8:28 is the famous one. We know that God works all things according to the good of those who love him. A lot of people stop there. It says, and who are called according to his purpose. And then in the next verse, 29, it says what that purpose is. And it says that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, if we're being conformed to the image, that means we're not there. So we say we're made in the image of God, and in the sense of, in the purposes of God's heart, we are made in the similitude and in the image of God. But Jesus is the image of God revealed. And we're a long way from that when we're born, because we're born into Adam. And so we're being conformed, we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's the purpose of our lives, is we are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. Okay, and in Christ, it's not about your nationality, it's not about your religious observance, ordinances, it's not about your ranking in society. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. It's who we are in Christ. Christ is all and is in all. And I'm going to finish off with a passage from 2 Corinthians. And as we were on the way here this morning, Oliver prayed. He prayed, God, would people see your goodness this morning? And I thought, man, what a great prayer. And I thought it was a good prayer, because I'm like not wanting people to feel prodded or bashed or poked. And so I thought it was a good prayer. So this, I've got the clicker. I've got the scriptures. Yes. How good is that? All right. I'll read it off there then. O Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6:11, for anybody who wants to know, up to 7:1. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. Listen to this next bit. But you are restricted by your own affections. Your own evil desires are restricting you. And this rest that's found walking in the obedience, walking in the way of God, we've got to deal with our own affections. We've got to deal with he said to Timothy, flee the youthful lusts that wage war against your soul. These evil desires, these wicked cravings. We've got to stop living in denial, and we've got to stop thinking that they're normal and wrap Christianese around it and actually get serious about weeding it out of our hearts. And how do we do that without getting into legalism? How do we put off the things of the flesh without getting into works? It's a place of prayer and communion. It's a place of putting off and putting on in prayer and communion and faith. Thank you, God, that's not who I'm created to be. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that to me. I don't want that in my life. I lay down my right to be frustrated and offended. Do you see? This is working out our salvation stuff. Oh, I'm reading off the screen. You are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And, you know, a lot of the times people use that as a marriage text, but the context, and it could relate to some areas. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but the context is actually about is being yoked together with unbelievers as opposed to being yoked to Jesus. He's the way. He's showing us the way. We're not walking in the way of wickedness. We're not walking in the counsel of sinners, standing in the seat of mockers, etc., etc. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this holiness thing, this pursuing holiness thing, this working out our salvation thing is because God wants to inhabit us and live in and through us. It's so that we can become what we were created to be. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. This isn't works. This is holiness. I will be a father to you. There's this rest that you find when you step into obedience, when you step into pursuing holiness. Because that's the way you find the highest measure of grace, of Holy Spirit lubrication for your life, is when you step in to pursuing what God created you to be. That's the place. That's the highway of holiness. Only the upright will travel on it. God is the one who empowers us by his grace as we say yes, as we put off the old, put on the new, and begin to pursue holiness. I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I will be a father to you. God is our Father. It's in the Lord's Prayer. We all know that. He's talking about a deeper thing. He's talking about the reality of being fathered, of hearing his voice, of manifesting himself to us. It's in the Lord's Prayer in John 17. I will manifest myself to them. My Father and I will come and manifest. It's so good. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, walking in holiness is non-negotiable. And it's the peacemakers that are the sons of God. Sonship's not just a confession, it's an expression. It's the ones who forgive their enemies and love their enemies, that you may be children of your Father. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Isn't that awesome? So in the fear of God, you know, we're working out our salvation in fear and trembling, knowing that it's his power that's available to transform and change us. It is not, well, God just is doing a work in me in the sense of a decade goes by and you're still just battling the same stuff. God's doing a work in me. He's not missing the chisel, okay? He's not. So he is doing a work in us, and it's not bad to say that, but let's make sure we're on the potter's wheel. Let's make sure that we're not the clay that has to be put in a bag on the shelf and have some water added to it so it can be worked with later. And the water has to work through the clay. Let's make sure we're on the wheel and we're saying, God, have your way in me. And we're putting this stuff off and dealing with it. And if this is bringing up anything for you, then talk to somebody. If there's stuff in your life that you've been struggling with, there is freedom. Come and talk to somebody. And we pray for each other, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and dynamic and effective in its working. And when we confess our sins one to another, he's faithful and just to forgive. We're not pursuing holiness. This isn't a condemning message. This is what we're created for message. This is the truth about us. Okay? Anyway, we could go on, but that's probably enough. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these promises that we have. Help us, Lord, to pursue holiness. Help us to work out our salvation. And help us, God, to be very real with our own hearts about what's driving us. Is it love or is it selfishness? Help us, God, we pray. Have your way in us, Lord. And we thank you that as we do, you are pleased to presence yourself in and through us in greater measure and greater measure. And as we suffer with you, as we die, we share in your glory. And you fill us with your own life. God, be praised, be glorified in and through our lives. And I pray for a special grace, Lord, for anybody who's has conviction to follow through. And we thank you, God, that this is not condemning. Two chapters before this, we read that we were alienated, but you reconciled us through the body of your flesh and presented us holy and blameless and above reproach in your sight. So you've made us holy. And you're making us holy. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Callan.